Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week?
Doing great, Jimmy. How are you? It's I don't know if it's my absolute favorite week of the year, but I think it is. It's Masters week. It's my favorite week of the year. So I love watching the Masters. Golf tournament, it's my favorite week of the year. How about yourself?
You know, I'm feeling a bit salty. And it's not about the topic we're going to talk about, which is usually what makes me salty, Andy. It's the stinking weather.
Yeah, it has been. But it's what you should expect. I mean, we live in the Northeast in Pennsylvania. The spring, particularly April, is bipolar. It can be 80 for 3 days and then 37 for two others with rain and freezing wind.
But here's the problem. It's the 37 and rain and wind that we're getting. We're not getting those 80-degree days. I don't mind if we get some of these crappy days, Andy, if we get some of the good ones also. I understand March, who knows, but we're like middle of April now. We should get some decent days. And maybe it's just a few weeks ago, remember, like we just had those couple of great days. Yep. I got out to golf once. I wore shorts to golf because it was that nice out. And now it's killing me, Andy. It's killing me that we're not getting that kind of weather anymore. But with that said, you're right. You had the positive spin. It's Masters week. A lot of good stuff. We just finished up March Madness, the NCAA tournament. Penn State hockey has done so well, getting to the Frozen Four. Just a lot of good things going on, Andy. But how about you and I get back to football talk, okay? Just some serious football talk, getting ready for the 2025 season, Andy. And here's what I wanted to do. Let's start with the offense. I wanted to take, I hate to say deep dive because that's a cliche and it makes it sound so technical and it makes it sound like we're going to debate who the third string left guard is going to be. All right. Nope. That's not the direction I want to go. I do want to go through some of the positions, but I also want to look philosophically on how the team's going to be run strategically. Let me give you an example. Let me start with this, Andy. We know there's a lot of talent on this offense, okay? A lot of talent. But it's not distributed evenly among the positions, okay? We got that one sore thumb that will stick out. But I'm curious, for example, your take on Andy Kotelnicki is a year into the system now. There's so much talent at running back, at tight end. I'm curious what you think. We keep hearing from James Franklin, which I really appreciate. He wants to get the best players on the field. And you know what? The best players may not be wide receivers, Andy. They might be tight ends. They might be running backs. It might be an extra offensive lineman. How much are we going to see, Andy, of let's get the best talent, don't really care what the positions are. If we get the best talent out there, that's when we're going to get the best team.
So year two under Andy Kotelnicki, and you have to start with what he did last year, right? It was fresh, I think. It was innovative. It became very mix and match. But what you just asked about is sort of what he did in year one without you really, really knowing it. Like, what were his strengths and what were his weaknesses? He found them early and often, and that's what this offense became. So Andy's really, he's a master, like almost a mad scientist type master of distracting your eyes as a defense, right? And making it tough on coordinators. He uses a lot of, you know, a lot of motion, a lot of different sets, a lot of movement, a lot of, you know, set up one way out of the huddle, then, you know, one snap call in, four guys are moving, right? Like guys in motion from left to right, running behind the quarterback. He uses a lot of eye candy to distract the eyes, but in its core, he keeps it very simple. And I'm not saying he's a simple offensive coordinator. He sort of, you have all of that and you think he's doing all this crazy innovative stuff, but he's exact, but it, actually what he does, what you think and how you think as a fan or as a opposing defensive coordinator, how you think is his bread is buttered. That's exactly how he butters his bread, right? But he hides it. So very well. So where do I think he's headed in year two? So when I say, okay, look, he lost 100 catch, 1,000 yard, multiple, you know, faceted tight end, and he lost 3 starting receivers, right? Like for all of their, you know, shortcomings, that's they were 3 regular starting receivers. So then you say, okay, now what do I know that Andy Kotelnicki and this offense will have? He has a veteran quarterback. He has 2 stud running backs. And essentially, by the book, he has 4 full-time starters returning on the offensive line, right? What does that sound like to you, Jimmy?
Right? Sounds like we're going to run the ball quite a bit.
What does that – because – you know, to quote the late, great Dennis Green, who's from Harrisburg and was a Vikings coach, and but he said it when he was there, Arizona Cardinals coach, they're exactly who you think they are, right? It's not going to veer off course. Everyone's looking, not everyone, but you're kind of hoping and looking for different paths or something different. And you might get a little, you know, you might get some sprinkles of that, a little appetizer of that, but really, how your bread is going to be buttered is you have a veteran quarterback, 2 stud running backs, 4 starters, and an elite offensive line. That's how your bread's going to be buttered. Anything else you add to it is outside the box. So, you know, your top returning receiver that is a known quantity at Penn State is Liam Clifford with 20 or 18 catches last year, 286 yards. Jimmy! That's worse than what they had coming back at the position last year, right, going into the season. So I don't know that you could, but do you lower the expectations for the receivers as part of this offense? I think when you add it all up and start putting it together, the pieces of the puzzle that he has that are known and that excite you the most as Penn State fans, that's exactly what this offense is going to be.
Well, I think you're very accurate with it, Andy. And I'll take, well, first of all, I when you talked about a lot of eye candy from Andy Kotelnicki, but underneath it's, you know, the vanilla. It reminded me, someone made the comparison to Dairy Queen's Blizzards. When it starts with vanilla ice cream, and it just got a lot of different toppings on it, okay?
Yeah, it's just vanilla ice cream.
Right. When you dig in, it's vanilla ice cream. But it is that eye candy, as you refer to it, that yep. creates the things, creates the mismatches. You know, it's how you have an All-American tight end snapping the ball and catching a touchdown pass. But I think the one point to it is, when you've got 2 incredible running backs, you know, I think it was ESPN did their rankings of running backs, and they had the running back from Notre Dame number 1.
Yes.
And they had Singleton and Catron Allen 2 and 3.
As they should. That I agree that that's a fair ranking.
Yeah, 2 of the top 3 running backs in the country are in the Penn State backfield. If you talk about quarterback rankings, I think they had Drew Aller 2nd. Any ranking of quarterbacks returning for the 2025 season has Aller. So you, as much as you want to run the ball, you do have a capable, competent quarterback. And the issue that they do have at wide receiver is, and James Franklin said this, the wide receivers aren't just competing against each other. They're competing against the tight ends. They're competing against the running backs, Andy. So, you know, are we still going to see after you lose an all-world tight end, they're still deep at tight end. Are we going to still see three tight end sets? Are we going to see more? You've got two of the best running backs in the country. Are we going to see more of both of them on the field at the same time? And, you know, crazy thought, Andy, how about getting a third running back out there on some plays? Because that third running back might be better than your third wide receiver.
Jimmy, I think you're going to see three tight ends from Penn State at times. I think you could. I'm not saying you will. I'm saying you could. That's completely plausible, especially in the way Andy designs and runs the offense. I think you could see three running backs, the two studs and RB3 on the field at the same time. When James, I think James, if you read James' tea leaves and what, you know, what you said is that the wide receivers are competing not just in their room, but for catches. You got to get the best players on the field. That could be less wide receivers, more everything else, right? So, you're going to see more movement of this offensive line, right? Those kind of things. They did some, like, unique pulling and, like, old-school kind of counter-trace stuff later as the year went on last year, right, Jimmy? Because they were getting that good. They're already that good. You've got four starters back plus studs in reserve. You're going to see more powerhouse stuff out of this offensive line. I think you'll see more guard tackle pulling, more center stretching out and pulling. I just think you're going to see more of that from them up front. It's not going to be obvious as the nose on your face, sort of the differences in this Penn State or what Andy Kotelnicki does in year two. Because at the end of the day, it's like your blizzard, like you said. It's still just vanilla ice cream because he's got a good quarterback, a good offensive line, and two stud running backs, right? It's exactly what you think it is, but he adds a lot of different components to that, and I think you're going to see some unique and different ones from him because that is his strength. That is a strength, Jimmy.
And you know what, Andy? I said get those best players on the field, whether it's extra tight ends, running backs, or you have so many good offensive linemen, Andy. Maybe we get a sixth offensive lineman out there. You know that's one of my favorites. How about we talk about that offensive line, Andy, when we get back?
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. We're talking Penn State football. We're taking a good look at Penn State's offense come the 2025 season. And Andy, I think the clear thought through quarter number one is that there's going to be a strong urge to put the best players on the field. And that may not mean two or three wide receivers. It might mean extra tight ends. It might mean extra running backs. But I finished a segment talking about the offensive line. And you know, Andy, one of my favorite things from last year's football team, Vega Ioane, in motion, crushing somebody, okay? And, you know, if you think about it, oftentimes a receiver, a tight end, wide receiver often stays in, maybe blocking. Hey, why not have a guy who's more effective at it, which is an offensive lineman? And my thinking is we're going to see possibly even more of that this year Because there just are so many good offensive linemen returning. You mentioned four returning starters, and I think you are accurate in saying that, and that's based on losing the one, Sal Warmley.
Right. The technical by the book, you have four starters back. Yeah.
But my feeling is you almost have like six or seven starters returning, in that you have two right tackles, Donka and Rucci, who both started last year, both excelled last year. You have someone like, you know, JB Nelson, who could get that sixth man of the year like they have in the NBA, you know, the guy coming off the bench, the sixth guy. That could be JB Nelson. And you probably have, as the full-time replacement for Sal Warmley, highly regarded Cooper Cousins, who came in and just to rave reviews last season as a true freshman. So, Andy, can you recall a going into a season, at least during the James Franklin era, where you had anything even close to the expectations that you have for this offensive line?
No, this is far and away. And remember, Jimmy, we're probably, what, maybe five years removed from them being wafer thin. Like, we're well past the they don't have enough offensive linemen to have a practice, right? An honest two deep practice or spring game type practice. We're well beyond that, but they went from that to wafer/razor/very/, if they lose a guy, they could be in trouble thin, to this. So it's never looked any better than this under James Franklin. And frankly, it could be and might be and should be in the conversation for one of the, if not the best offensive lines going into 2025 in the country. Not just the Big Ten, Jimmy, the country. They're that good and they're that deep. You've got a legit competition. Now, neither one's playing right now in the spring because they're both recovering from injury. But at right tackle, you're going to have, like, I think Anthony has to come back and win his job again. I really feel that. Like, not because he was hurt, but because Nolan progressed at a level that you have to do that.
Andy, I just want to interject while you're talking about the right tackles.
Yes.
I'll give you my opinion, and I want to get your reaction to it, is Will and I'll give credit to our colleague Chris Buchanani. We had this conversation too. Because Donka is coming off injury, a more serious injury.
Significant.
Yeah. Can you picture Nolan Rucci, I think, would get the start at the start of the season to give Donka the chance to work his way completely back, okay? Where he'll be on a pitch limit, okay, to use my baseball analogy. And as long as Rucci really solidifies his place in the position, it'll be hard for Donka to get the position back. Now, offensive linemen, they get nicked up. It happens. I'd rather have more talent than less talent. But I suspect that Rucci will get the first shot at it.
So I think it depends on August, Jimmy. Like, where is Anthony? Can he actually compete? Or do we need to manage him through camp to get him back on the field or the opportunity to get back on the field? There's a big difference, right? If the latter is the case, of course, that's where you're going to have the pitch count. Like, okay, he can be ready by September, right? Like, or late August or whenever the heck the first game is. He could be ready by game one, but he's on a, you know, 30% pitch count, 40% pitch count, you know. Nolan's number one. We're going to sprinkle Anthony in. Both of them know that. But if they're both willing, and if Anthony's willing and able to go at camp and is ready to compete, then I think it is a competition. I would bet my money on him. But, yeah, looking at the offensive line, that's the problem they have, Jimmy. That's their right tackle problem, quote-unquote problem, right? Like, I say that jokingly. But as you go through it, like, they do have four starters. Nick Dawkins decided to come back at center when he could have gone to the NFL. That's undervalued on the who came back, and I think it is one of the bigger ones that goes under the radar. That is huge for this offensive line. Cooper, you know, from Erie, Pennsylvania, is very, he's going to be the greenhorn, right? Like, he's the talented newcomer. But, you know, I think they have eight offensive linemen, Jimmy. Eight. They have eight offensive linemen for five spots. And I went through and I just, to show you what the value of these guys, first of all, it showed up last year, particularly in the playoffs, but I would argue the last quarter of the season, they went from a developing and very good offensive line to flat out dominant. They just went, they made that turn, they tipped, and they never stopped being dominant, Jimmy. And they might have played their best football game in the college football playoff semifinal when they lost. They just gobsmacked Notre Dame's front seven and pushed them all around and protected Drew Aller, and he had all day to throw. So, but they have eight offensive linemen, and if you go through them one by one and look at their career games played, a little bit of special teams might be sprinkled in there for counting as a game played for a few of them. But generally, these are games played on the offensive line. 186 games played is your experience.
Wow.
And 72 wow. starts, Jimmy. 72 starts among those. And two of those guys, and I count Javon Williams in this, he's number eight. Cooper and Javon Williams have zero starts. So really, you have six returning offensive linemen and a new jack, but you have six offensive linemen among your available eight. Six of them have a combined 72 starts. And they finished off the year in complete dominating fashion. That's where they will pick up. So when it comes to this offensive line, Jimmy, they are the – the skill players matter, and they are relevant and very, very important. But where this offense goes and how far Drew Aller and Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton – can take them is as much tied to those three individuals as it is to those eight dudes in front of them. I don't think there's any relevance or importance. It's a balance of power. I don't think anyone's more important than the other, and I don't think anyone has to do any better than the other. I think they're very closely tied together because this is a unique offensive line group. You're not going to see this in another decade, maybe, but it's a unicorn, Jimmy, like this eight deep. It's a unicorn.
And it feels, Andy, like that position has turned the corner. You talked about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, how thin it was. And, you know, we're now, it feels like we're at that point where offensive line is like tight end, like running back, where you just expect, you know, the more talent coming, it will just keep feeding on itself and will stay. It may be not quite elite, but at least very good. But I'll use that as the segue, Andy. We'd have to talk about it. That wide receiver, as you mentioned, three top, statistically at least, wide receivers are gone. Three starters, they're gone.
Right.
And, you know, there's a lot of folks who would say, hey, good riddance. The wide receiver room was bad. Clean slate. Maybe the clean slate is good, Andy, but, you know, I wish Trey Wallace were coming back. I thought he was very talented and could have been a help to any wide receiver room, Andy.
Yeah, so the wide receivers is your box of chocolates, right, Jimmy? I mean, I put zero expectation and zero contribution stock in the ability of this position to contribute to Penn State's offense in 2025. That is a difference maker, right? Like, I put that at 0%. You have a wide receiver that become is there any potential for a wide receiver to be a difference maker with what Penn State already has and what is known in this offense? For me, that's a zero, Jimmy. That's just where the position is. It is statistically, somehow it is worse than a year ago with what you have on the table coming back, or what is known as a Penn State. You know, you got a couple transfers. Yes, we know that. And that is exciting, but that is not known Big Ten quality receiving at that level. We don't know what it's going to look like at that level. So what we do know is less than what we knew last year. So how, you know, you just, it's the problem. I don't know how you fix it. I mean, you look at, you know, you break it, you know, break it down. We were talking about it. You got the transfers, you got the vets, you got the newbies, and then you got true freshmen, right? You got four categories. Well, I'll start with the vets. You got Liam Clifford and Caden Saunders. Clifford had 18 catches last year. Caden Saunders has 8 career catches, Jimmy. 8 career. That's career. And I think he was hurt again last year, right? Because he became a punt returner and he was hurt and then he didn't play and he's been often injured. That's what I'm telling you. So when you talk about wide receivers, and I think we need to talk more about it, let's start with the vets. You have 18 catches from a year ago and 8 career catches. That's your starting point.
Andy, I think the starting point is actually going to be the two transfers. And we're up against a break here for this segment. Then we've got Ask Andy. How about when we come back after Ask Andy in quarter four, we'll get back into the wide receivers. Stick with us.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's time for your questions, and we're going to ask Andy. And Andy, I am going to make two promises to you. Okay. Two. Number one, we're not going to have any food questions this week.
Now, see, I'm bummed. I mean, hey, like,
don't put it on me. Put it on our listeners.
All right, ask them. Let's talk food, listeners.
And second thing I will promise to you is we're going to get through more than one question, which is all we did last week. All right, let's get rolling. You ready?
Yeah, let's go. Let's fire it up.
Let's start with Matt from Massachusetts. Says, Jim and Andy, a recruiting question about James Franklin's tactic of leveraging Saquon Barkley's appearance in the Super Bowl. How much influence does this have, considering he was drafted in 2018 and is now on a Super Bowl champion 6 years later? Let me give another example. After Syracuse defeated the defending champion Clemson in 2017, Coach Dino Babers remarked after the game he was immediately going to recruit. So my question boils down to this. Does timing of significant milestones taking place have an impact on influencing recruits?
That's a very interesting, and as I'm contemplating and processing the question, it's actually very good. I'm going to say I don't think it has any, because I think recruiting continues to evolve and change, and it is ongoing. You're never really off. You have periods where you're designated to be on, but you're never really off in terms of recruiting. And you just have to keep like the little to-go toolbox. Let's just put it that way. That's your one recruiting toolbox, but you keep adding to it. So then you have one of those big, heavy metal ones that you carry from the garage and use around the house instead of the little to-go one that you put in the car. I think James Franklin is one of those recruiters that has one of those standing on wheels sort of shop toolkits with 27 drawers in it. And the Barkley drawer is just, it's just an addition, him winning the Super Bowl and becoming, you know, sort of one of the superstar elite, even though he was always really freaking good. one of those faces of the NFL type players, right? Barkley uses it. Barkley talked about his Penn State time leading up to the Super Bowl and how important it was and his development. And he talks about his college career. He talks about the school he loves. He loves his school. He's doing it for him. So all James is doing is kind of recycling it and using it in the best way he thinks. So I think overall, it's a really good point. Like you're always recruiting. So you're always looking to make your toolbox bigger. And I think James does it better than most. And I think he has like 27 different drawers and one of those mega standing tool chests that you see in a truck garage. And that is what he will use. So I don't think it directly impacts recruits today, to answer your question, Matt, from Massachusetts, in terms of the way you set it up. Certainly, yes, the way you set it up, it is true. But direct impact, I'm going to say no.
Andy, I think that James Franklin does a great job in recruiting, and there's a theme to it, a culture that's created at Penn State, the family environment, that the players, when they get here, will be taken care of, that their families will be taken care of, that they will be treated well, that it creates that feeling, and then it pays off in several different ways. You treat Saquon Barkley well, you make that feeling known when he's here at Penn State, so that when he does go out and become a Super Bowl champion, the best running back on the planet, that, you know, Saquon Barkley is going to have such a good feeling about Penn State, he'll keep that going. You know, it's interesting. It's been, now 7 years since he was drafted. These recruits now were 10 years old when he was at Penn State. But these recruits, they know who Saquon Barkley is. And you know what? Nick Singleton, I recently saw a quote from him where I believe he talked about Saquon Barkley coming back to State College and working out with the current running backs. That just creates that legacy. You build on it. Give James Franklin credit for doing that. He put himself in a position to leverage Saquon Barkley because of how he treated Saquon Barkley and everybody else, other players.
I just want to say one thing real quick. It's done in the sort of image, the sort of culture that James built. It's not done like by a playbook per se. Yes, he has a playbook. He does it. His is in his likeness and image, the person. That's how he does it. That's not how all college football coaches do it. They do it by opportunity and many different ways. James does it in his likeness and image. And he's also big on relationships. And if you think about it, look at it, even though he didn't coach him and he's a new coach, Dan Connor, he's now got Deion Barnes, Dan Connor, and Trace McSorley. Two of those three young coaches, they played for him. You know what I mean? Like, that's sort of fits his likeness and image. That's part of recruiting as well, right? So who do you want to do your heavy lifting for you? Well, James doesn't have to do it. Send Deion and Trace out there. How good are they going to be at recruiting? Dan Connor. You know what I'm talking about, Jimmy. Like, James doesn't have to teach him much.
He's created that environment, Andy. Correct. All right, let's move on so we can get to at least the second question. This may be one you don't want to address, and I will take it, but I do want to get to it. Josh from Morgantown said, I was listening to your segment with Pat Romano. For those who don't know, Pat, a huge Penn State contributor to the athletic department, does a lot of things. Owner of the We Are In Phillipsburg. If you've never been there, there's a shrine to Penn State. This his back room. It's incredible. He's now taking over what used to be the old Damon's and Letterman's restaurant, which I was there. It's going to open in a couple months. The place is incredible. He's also running for the Board of Trustees, but he and I were on together last week, and the whole Joe Paterno statue and so on came up in conversation. All that to say, Josh's question is, in my opinion, the Paterno statue needs to be back up and Joe needs to be honored. However, this program has been a drag through the mud for the last 15 years over the scandal. As a football program, Franklin is trying to rebrand and move on from the scandal so it doesn't affect fundraising, recruiting, etc. I believe the best location to honor Joe and still continue moving on from the scandal would be by putting the statue at the Paterno Library. Joe can be honored while still keeping the separation from the current football program's achievements and attributions. Your thoughts?
Sounds like a smart, passionate human being that has a very good idea. So that means it's not going to happen. Put all of those key ingredients together and then you just, no, that's a no. So you're going to answer more in depth, but I have thought of that as well. It's a brilliant idea. And it sounds like he has enough, maybe a little bit more muscle to make it happen, but he's not wrong. He's 100% right on every single point he made there, Jimmy. 100% accurate and correct.
He is. And this board, this administration, yeah, they want to separate themselves from what happened a dozen years ago. I understand it. I get it. They weren't part of at least the administration, the people in charge right now. We're not here at that time. So that's not our mess. We don't want to touch it. We don't want to be part of it. And I suspect that will be the overriding theme, you know, of any decision-making process. But I do think that Josh makes a good point. Joe Paterno was about more than football. The fact that the library is named after him, that tells you what was important to Joe Paterno. This might be the great compromise. All right, let's get another question in.
Sure.
Let's see. Yeah, let's do this. Tim from Port Matilda always gives us fun questions. It's the off season. Time for some fun topics. I have a conspiracy theory. Oh. Is it possible Bo Prabula has an awesome season at Missouri and Aller takes the necessary steps to move on as a first-round pick for the NFL? Bo got good tape at Missouri for the NFL to potentially consider him, but now he comes back to play for his dream school. Obviously, and he says in my James Franklin voice, obviously, conspiracy is James Franklin tells him to go into the portal, do what I know you're capable of, and then come back for your last year. Andy, what do you think of that conspiracy theory? And he ends it with, hey, King Mac came back.
He did, but King Mac didn't play in Alabama very much. There's one, sounds a little cray-cray to me, because I think this Penn State was Penn State was where Bo Prabula wanted to go. It was his dream school. And because of the circumstances, it couldn't love him back the way he wanted, the way he loves it. That's nobody's fault. That's not a judgment. It's just he couldn't become the starting quarterback there in a 3-year time period. So I think he'd gone to Missouri, and I think for him, if he lives out the Tim scenario and has a great season, it's because he's done it with the team and the people there. That doesn't mean he's going to come to Penn State if he transferred back and replicate it. It just makes sense that he stays and tries again if he wants to do another year. So I don't think it's possible. I think it's a less than 1%. How's that for? It's a great, great conspiracy theory. Less than 1% relativity on the Andy scale.
I agree with you, Andy, and I think actually, the better he does at Missouri, the less likely he is to come back.
Very good point. Yeah,
if he plays well enough to go to the NFL, that's one thing. If he just plays well enough that he has a successful year with Missouri, why would he gamble with his career by coming back? Now, if he goes to Missouri, things don't fall correctly. He gets banged up. Maybe the true freshman who ironically comes from Pennsylvania takes over, and all of a sudden Bo is, you know, second team there, doesn't have a future there. Then I could see him coming back. But the better things go in Missouri, less chance he's ever a Nittany Lion again. All right, Andy, that's it for Ask Andy. We got three questions in. Come back for more offense talk when we get back.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? Go PSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy Shea. I'm Jim Galante. It's quarter number four of our show. And Andy, I'm going to pat us on the back. We got through Ask Andy, just like I promised, without a food question, and we got to three questions.
That's better than one, right? Like, that's winning. That's for Charlie Sheen winning. So,
it's three times better than one. So,
four is generally our goal. Like, if we get to four, that means we've done really well. Three's close. So, we came close. So, that's good enough for us.
All right. Let's move on.
Yes.
When we left things after quarter number two, we were talking about the offense. And, Andy, we were hitting the wide receiver position. And, you know, I think oftentimes I'm the glass half full kind of guy. I know it's wishful thinking. I think it's the unknown. I think this is a, you know, is it glass half full or half empty kind of deal. But I think it really – it's pretty much going to come down to these two transfer portal receivers. They did not come to Penn State to sit. Penn State didn't bring them here to sit. They are going to have that first shot. They are going to be the guys, and that's Kyren Hudson and Devontae Ross, the one from USC, one from Troy. Ross from Troy, small school, but he put up big numbers. He's that smaller receiver. Kyren Hudson from the big school, USC, Big Ten experience, big-bodied guy. Andy, I think it's on those two to step up.
Land of hope and dreams, Jimmy.
It's
a hope and a prayer, right? They're transfer receivers for a reason. Now, a lot of people transfer these days, and it's about finding the right slot for you as the player. 100% agree with that. Love it and get it. Can they? Might they? Maybe. But it's a new wide receiver room, right? Like, it's a lot of new in the wide receiver room. Good thing or bad thing? I would say potentially could be a good thing. But they're the land of hope and dreams. And it's still the same guy coaching them. Still the same coach, right? At the wide receiver position. And I agree that you couldn't, it was a smart and the right decision not to get rid of him. However, his track record of development of players at the position is
not good.
Right. That's it. So you can have it. Is the glass half full or the glass half empty? The glass is already empty. It's, can we put any water in it? The glass is empty, Jimmy. It's a bad black hole of a position for a major college football program that has and should have college football championship aspirations. So it's not about, is the glass half full or is the glass empty? Can they get any water in the glass in 2025 is the question. So they are. There's elements to like about both of them. I have no problem with either one of them. I like them as transfer wide receivers. I got to see some development and some production. And until then, they are simply the land of hope and dreams. That's it.
Andy, I'll give, and this, of course, is a – you know, the optimistic spin, But I've heard some really good things about Devontae Ross, you know, from inside the building.
Good.
Which is great. And for a little bit of karma, I remember this, and I probably mentioned this on the show before, watching that USC-LSU game, first game of the season, where Kyron Hudson makes maybe the catch of the year, one-handed catch. And I just said to myself, my goodness, why can't Penn State have a receiver like that?
Got him.
It was karma, Andy. It was karma. Now, my question to you is, could we see something from somewhere else in the wide receiver room? You had mentioned earlier, you know, Caden Saunders, Liam Clifford are the returning veterans, okay? Right. They're the guys who are coming back. But how about, you know, the redshirt freshman, Tyzir Denmark and Pete Gonzalez, who we've also heard some things, a pretty big receiver, was hurt in his senior year at high school. Then we have a couple of freshmen, true freshmen, hearing a lot of good things about, like, Matt Otten and Lyric Samuel. Is it a position where we could see a youngster come in and make a difference?
So to answer your question, I have two simple words. Why not? Why not? Right? Don't forget, Jimmy, when we're talking about all of this and this position, they have a really good quarterback and a strong-armed, accurate, fairly accurate, pretty darn accurate, strong-armed quarterback throwing the football to them. He, along with the talent of the tight end, they had a 100 reception, 1,000-plus yard receiver a year ago. He just happened to play tight end. That's not a quarterback problem. So, yeah, Drew has his own little things, and we might talk about that a little bit, that we look for in 2025 with this offense. But don't forget, all of these guys have him to work with. That's a lot to start with. That's half the equation. So in answer to your question, it could be any of them. It could be the vets could become – Caden Saunders' talent could be realized, right? Like, he has an enormous amount of it. It's just all completely unrealized. Could one of the transfers become that guy? You know, could Hudson be the, oh, man, I wish we had a receiver like that at Penn State. The Jimmy phrase. Yes, now you got him, and he's valuable. Could it be one of the newbies, one of the redshirt freshmen? Sure, why not? One of the true freshmen. Put him in the equation. You try anything and everything, I say. And to your question, I say, why not?
Well, could be any of them. You brought up the fact that it's a very good quarterback throwing to them, and you've got 100 catches from Tyler Warren that are now gone, have to be made up somewhere. And I think it's not a bad thing that you had a tight end who was able to catch 100 passes, Andy, but I think he was also a crutch for Drew Aller. When in doubt, that's where you look, and now he's going to have to look elsewhere.
The strongest crutch you could ever want, right? Like, and I will say this to just wrap it up. And as I'm looking at the wide receiver position, don't ever forget the tea leaves and what James told us. They are the way they are looking at it from inside the building. They are all not only competing with each other, but they're competing for the other skill players for any and all touches that come their way, basically is what he said. There's a second level of competition they're up against that I'm going to tell you exists, and it is real. So they're prepared for this offense to be what it's going to be in 25 without the wide receivers being a significant contributor. That's the way they have to look at it. And anything that comes out of it will be earned, because it's going to have to pass the two-layer test to get those cherished touches, because there's plenty of other options.
Okay, Andy, in the time we have left, sure. I want to hit two topics, and you could take it either way you want. The battle for running back 3, the battle for quarterback 2.
So, the battle for quarterback 2 is more important. I'm not sure there's a battle for running back 3. I think There could be, but I think Penn State, I think they're going to use three running backs. I honestly do. And I think they know what they want at there. I don't. Quarterback two is different because the position has to be managed different because of all the stuff that goes on in with the transfer portal and everything. I think they are going, they are learning and they will continue to learn and have an idea of where they're going at QB2, but we're not going to know it in, before, you know, like he did, you know, before, like late in camp. Drew Aller is QB2, right? When in his true freshman, he won the backup job. I can see the same scenario playing out this way. Keep them both viable options for your roster for 2025. That is job one on top of figuring out who it is once you do that. And I think they'll come out of spring with a good idea, but then the secondary, but also very important job becomes make sure you keep all three going into 2025.
The issue at quarterback, and this is not unique to Penn State, it's quarterback is the position you don't typically share the position.
Correct.
You know, you could have, in essence, two starting running backs. You can't have two starting quarterbacks. You can't have two number two quarterbacks. You could only have one. And oftentimes the loser in the spring of that battle for QB2 says, hey, maybe there'll be greener pastures somewhere else. The problem with that is if Penn State were to lose one of these quarterbacks, they would be painfully thin at the quarterback position. We've seen injuries happen at schools where one and two quarterbacks go down. So, yes, I think James Franklin will do everything he can to preserve that quarterback position. At running back, Andy, you know, you said you think they'll play three running backs. I do too. But I'm wondering if it's just like the starting running back is a shared position, a timeshare position. I'm wondering if running back three is going to be the same thing, a timeshare among two and maybe even three guys.
Yeah, I mean, could you see a scenario where Corey Smith and Quentin Martin play? You know what I mean?
Yes.
As right, I agree. I think they might have a four running back rotational depth chart and situations, and you're just giving Andy Kotelnicki more pieces to put in his blizzard, right? Like it's still vanilla ice cream. You're just using different pieces. So I think the quarterback two is more important. To me, the running back three is like right tackle one.
Well, right? You have, obviously you feel really good about the two you have there. And obviously you hope for, you know, no injuries. You hope for health there in that room. But you're also, those guys are auditioning for 2026, okay, when you where both Singleton and Catron Allen will move on, definitely will be moving on, Andy. So that's going to be interesting to see. Andy, that's going to have to be the final word. As always, it just goes way too fast. Thank you, Andy. Thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you get back with us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Spring football is almost here. Are you looking for a great place to stay in Happy Valley for that weekend? GoPSU RV has an RV for you. Drive your own car there. The RV is ready and waiting for you. A shuttle bus will take you to and from the game. No hassle with parking. Rates start as low as $750 for the weekend, and you get a $250 discount for the fall. Check out gopsurv.com or call 800-519-8467.